his name in this place. Hallelujah. Because he's worthy. He alone is worthy to receive all glory, honor, and praise.
Yes, Lord.
Why don't you go up to at least two people and tell them he's worthy.
He's worthy.
Introduce yourself to those that you don't know.
He's worthy.
Jesus is worthy.
Oh, amen. He's worthy.
Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. It's good to see you all tonight. Make sure you, amen, thank you. Make sure you greet our guests who are in the house. Those of unfamiliar faces. Let them experience the love that we love to share. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's welcome Ashley. Is it Creter? Creter. Amen. Welcome, Ashley Creter. And forgive me if I pronounce it wrong. Ailsa Curiel. Welcome, Elsa. Curiel. I messed up the last name. Praise God. Welcome them in the wonderful name of Jesus. Thank you for coming to fellowship with us tonight. We love you with the love of Jesus. We thank you for coming. We pray that you are blessed. Wow. I also comes all the way from, I might mess it up again, Slidell, Louisiana. Did I pronounce that right? That's a long commute, amen? Praise God. Glory to God. Welcome in Jesus' wonderful name. And Ashley's from our own town, Antioch. We thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I didn't have to tell them. They are gone, little troopers. And like, praise is over, we're gone. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming out tonight. We pray that the Spirit of the Lord moves mightily on your heart, that you receive more than what you had before you came in these doors, that your life is not the same when you leave out of these doors. Amen? Amen. Praise God. If you have your Bibles with you, open them up to the book of Proverbs chapter 1. And we're going to get ready to receive an offering tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if I can get a couple of offering baskets up here, that would be great. Give as you have been blessed. If you have not been blessed, then you don't have anything to give. But if you've been blessed, you ought to have something. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Our God loves a cheerful, hilarious, prompt-to-do-it giver whose heart is in their giving. I heard, you know, it's amazing that people still argue about giving to God, tithes and offerings, and how much we ought to give, and what's sufficient and what's not sufficient, and what's no longer valid and what is valid. And really what it boils down to is you and your relationship with the Father. And how worthy is he? How worthy is he? We can dig up ammunition to say, well, tithing is no longer necessary, Old Testament, Old Covenant, and it's as if that limits us. So now we don't have to, you know, we can give him a dollar and he'll be satisfied with that. On the other hand, you have those who, whether they stress tithing or going beyond the tithe with seed sowing and offerings and alms, gifts of love. Alms we give to others to help them along the way. But to be able to give in abundance, and really what it boils down to is your personal relationship and who's really Lord and who's really the master in your life. If money is the master, then money's going to tell you how to do things. If God is the master, then he's going to tell you how to do things. And how much is enough to give to God? He's given us everything. So how much is too much for him? Praise God. We don't even have to limit ourselves with the tithe, the tenth of all of our increase, a tenth of our gross income. We can go beyond that. I certainly wouldn't advise giving less than that, not as a child of God. You'll limit what he's able to do in your life. We have a principle, and the principle is, if we sow sparingly, we'll reap sparingly. If we sow bountifully, we'll reap bountifully, which equates to, if we want more of God and from God, then we'll do and give more. And if we don't want more of God, then we don't give much. And so we don't give much, we don't get much. But there are some of us that are addicted to him, and we want all that he has to release to us. And so it's demonstrated through our giving, through our love and appreciation of him. He's real. He's not just a God way up there in the sky who has so many problems and situations in the earth that he really couldn't individualize things and make things personal. But our God is so big, so great, and so mighty that he can handle 7 billion people at one time and intervene personally within each and every one of their lives and not miss a beat. He wouldn't overlook anybody. How can he do that? I'm only one person. How can I give myself to many? That's why he's God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let us give with a cheerful heart. Let us honor the Lord with the first fruit of our increase. Let's bless the Lord and magnify him. And if you haven't earned anything, just bring a love offering. And if you don't have anything, just stand up on your feet and say, thank you, Jesus, for the very air that I breathe. Thank you for the strength. Thank you for the wisdom. Thank you for the ability to be in the household of faith. Thank you for my brothers and sisters who have something to present unto you in your precious name. Thank you. Let's be thankful and let's be grateful. Praise God. And let's show it and demonstrate it in our giving. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We bless your name. Ooh, 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 ooh. Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. So willingly or cheerfully, bountifully, Jesus, you'll reap in like manner. Honor the Lord with your substance, with the first fruits of your increase. Bless the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Jesus. Magnify his name. He alone is worthy. He alone is worthy to receive glory and honor and praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory. Mm-hmm. everyone given? All right, let's stand to our feet and let's worship the Father as we stretch forth our hands in faith. Father, the stretching forth of our hands is symbolic of our faith in you. We stretch towards these offerings as they are presented to you in the name that's above every name. We thank you for this privilege and opportunity again to give into the kingdom. We thank you, Father, for every giver, every sower, every tither. We thank you, Lord God, for our brothers and sisters and those who don't have it to give. Father, we pray for breakthroughs on their behalf, financial breakthroughs, jobs, raises, promotions, Lord God, debt cancellation, Father God. Such favor, Father, such favor with you and favor with man, that doors open that were previously closed, that those who said no all of a sudden say yes, and those, Lord God, who would not give it up all of a sudden have to release that which belongs in the hands of the children of the Most High God. We thank you, Father God, that the enemy who is trying to hold things up, Lord God, in the heavenlies must release them now. In the name of Jesus, to come into our possession, that what has been released in the realm of the spirit must now be manifest in the natural, that your name can continue to be glorified, and that even the heathen will know and recognize how good our God is. We hold these offerings up before you in the name of Jesus. We pray your divine blessing upon them. We pray that you'll multiply the seed sown, that you'll keep the windows of heaven open over all who honor you with the tithes and the offerings. Father, that your sons and daughters will enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Above all else, will prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. The gates of hell prevailing not against us, Lord God. We pray for jobs. We pray for raises. We pray for promotions. We pray for increase. We pray for bonuses to come into the hands of your sons and daughters, Lord God. You've said in your word, Lord God, to the wicked one, you give the responsibility of laboring and toiling, and to the one that pleases you, Lord God, you give wisdom, Father, to the one that pleases you. You take that which the wicked accumulate and give it into their hands, Father, the righteous. Let divine favor come upon your people now. Let divine favor come upon your people now, Father, in Jesus' name, that none will be found lacking. None will be found empty-handed. You said when you brought the children of Israel out that they would not come out empty-handed. And Lord, when we come out of this world, we are in this world, but not of this world. When we come into the kingdom, Father, that we come not empty-handed, but you abundantly supply in Jesus' mighty name. So we thank you and we give you praise. We hold up Brother Rocky's mother. We cover in the precious blood of Jesus. We pray for healing in her physical body. We hold up Sister Pashel's mother. We cover her in the blood of Jesus and pray that you'll deliver her from all pain and discomfort and raise her up, Lord God, off of the sick bed and restore her health, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Let nothing hinder her healing. Nothing interfere with the breakthrough. Show yourself strong to each and one who has a heart loyal towards you. In the mighty name of Jesus. For anyone else in this house, Lord God, that may be dealing with pain, that may be dealing with discomfort, that may be dealing with the sickness and illness and affliction, we honor you tonight, Lord God, and say, deliver them in the mighty name of Jesus. And we'll give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. We will not take the credit, but we'll give the credit and the glory to the one that it is due. And that's unto you, Almighty God. And we bless you in Jesus' name. Everybody who agrees, said amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Ah, glory to God. You may be seated in the presence. you may be seated in the presence. Hallelujah. She's not in the, she must be down there teaching with the children. Sister Lamar sent over a text yesterday saying she got blessed with a new car.
Glory.
Praise God. Isn't that awesome?
Woo!
Amen.
Hallelujah.
We rejoice with you, Sister Lamar. We saw you on the platform leading praise. We don't know where your whereabouts are. It's obviously somewhere on this property. But we thank God for that in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. All right, if you have your Bibles with you, open them up to the book of Proverbs. Jesus is Lord. We have been talking about wisdom these last few weeks. And I was blessed this past Friday. Went to the post office to pick up the mail. And in the mail, excuse me, I discovered a package from Pastor Rod, and inside it had a CD, and the title of the CD was Wisdom, Walking in the Spirit, praise God, hallelujah, amen. It tremendously blessed me. I was like, wow. Holy Ghost knows where we are and what we need for the hour in which we live. And he will confirm his word in Jesus' mighty name. So I pray that this is benefiting you and blessing you. You know, one good thing about coming to TFT on a regular basis is we'll keep you nailed to the cross. Glory. Living a crucified life in Christ Jesus. If your flesh is getting out of line, just come on in here anytime and watch us nail you back to that cross as you're trying to get one arm off and the other arm off and one foot off. And we just bam, 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 stay up there and live that crucified life. And don't give up yet. Don't give up at all. There's just too much happening. So anyways, God is a good God, and we rejoice in him. Last week, we left off in the last portion of the of chapter 1 in the book of Proverbs, and wisdom was speaking at the end, and I share it with you that wisdom, in the midst of all of the chaos and the turmoil, in the midst of the busyness of life, when it seems and looks like, you know, things may be hectic and chaotic and all, that wisdom is still shouting, saying, hello, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. Because there's always a right way to do something. There's a right way and there's a wrong way. And wisdom is always shouting out the right way. Sometimes we don't like the right way. And when the right way is God's way, whether we like it or not, we need to just go along with the program. Amen? We need to just follow whatever we don't like of what God is revealing to us or telling us to do. We need to just tell that don't like, just sit back, hold on, be quiet, and let's see where this is going to lead us to, because God will never lead us astray. He'll always lead us in the right path. He'll always lead us the right way. And so in this particular passage towards the end, wisdom like cries out and really starts mocking those who turn their backs on her. Wisdom is likened to a woman, if you will. And we're going to look at some other passages in chapter 8 and chapter 9 as well tonight, if we have enough time. But wisdom is like laughing and mocking at those who reject or refuse her Because wisdom only comes to help. She only comes to bring clarity, bring understanding. Wisdom comes in order to open the eyes of our understanding and make things clear to us as far as God's perspective. There is worldly wisdom, and then there is godly wisdom. There's foolishness, and then there's smartness. But wisdom always comes with the right answer at the right time, the right way, the right place. Everything is right about her. Let me read this definition to you from Wikipedia. Wisdom is the ability to think and act using knowledge, experience, understanding, common sense, and insight. That's a human definition of what wisdom is and what it's all about. It's the ability to think and act using knowledge that you've gained, experience that you've experienced or encountered, understanding, common sense, and insight. Wisdom has been regarded as one of the four cardinal virtues. And as a virtue, it is a habit or disposition to perform the action with the highest degree of adequacy under any given circumstance. I like to just summarize it to say, no matter what the situation or circumstance is, wisdom will always lead you in the right way, the right path, all the time. And wisdom is always there, always available. We have an edge, E-D-G-E. I think that's how you say it and spell it. We have an edge on the world because we can not only operate from the knowledge, experience, understanding, common sense, and insight that we've learned over the years of accumulation, going from being raised up in the home to going to school, from kindergarten to 12th grade, if we've gone to higher education, whether it's junior college or whether it's, you know, four-year college, if you will. And through all of that, you gain some wisdom, but you gain earthly wisdom. We have an edge or an advantage in that we get to receive godly wisdom. Wisdom can come through a lot of studying, and wisdom can come through divine revelation. With God, he will give us divine revelation. We don't have to know a thing about the subject. But if our relationship is intact with the Father, as it should be, we could be as blind and as dumb and as ignorant as the most blind, dumbest, ignorant person there is on the earth. And yet we can face a complicated matter, and in a split second, God can give us the answer and the solution by divine revelation. We didn't go to no college. We didn't go to no trade school. We didn't go, you know, sit under no great philosophers or get any kind of teaching. All we did was looked up, and God gave us the answer. But you can gain wisdom from studying. Solomon said it like this: much studying is wearisome. Makes you tired. This implies a possession of knowledge or seeking, the seeking thereof, in order to apply it to a given circumstance. This involves an understanding of people, things, events, situations, and the willingness as well as the ability to apply perception, judgment, and action in keeping with the understanding of what is the optimal course of action. The ability to stay focused, understand where you're at, what you're doing, where you're at and where you're going to, and how to get there. That's from an earthly standpoint. That's what we can accumulate through human wisdom, education, dot, dot, dot. But God can drop wisdom into our spirit man and give us deeper understanding. We can know things that we don't know. We can be standing before a person And all of a sudden, God can reveal certain things about the individual, and we start talking to them about those things, and they wonder, like, how did you know? There are times in preaching, can be preaching, and you're sitting there and you're wondering, how does he know that? Who has he? He's been in my room. He's been listening to my conversations. How did he know to say that? I don't have to know. You don't have to know. We don't have to know everything about everything. We just need to know Jesus. He has been made unto us wisdom. Is it good to have knowledge and understanding? Of course it is. But if we base our worth in the earth on that human knowledge that we can accumulate through education or anything else, any other means other than God, all it will produce is pride, arrogance, a sense of being the elite. And everybody else is just ignorant and dumb. But revelation from God will cause you to humble yourself because you know, it ain't me. I wish I could take credit for it, but I can't. Even with the gifts of the Spirit, word of wisdom, one, word of knowledge, two, prophecy, three, faith, four, tongues, five, interpretation of tongues, six, discerning of spirits, seven. Which ones did I miss? Miracles, gifts of healings. Is that seven and eight? Or was that eight and nine? That was eight and nine. So you have those gifts that the Holy Spirit brings. This is why we as believers, we can't push the Holy Ghost in the back room and say, you know, I'll get you when I need you. It's like, no, we need you now. We need you on a daily basis. We need you from the time we rise up to the time that we go down. Holy Spirit, reveal yourself, reveal Jesus, reveal this word. Help me to navigate through life. We need him. And when he comes, he doesn't come empty-handed. But as I said, and I could quote it easily by just going through the list, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, working of the miracles, prophecies, discernment of spirits, tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. These all give the one and self-same Spirit severally as he wills. But he will distribute gifts. And this is what Jesus wanted us to depend upon when he said, it's necessary that I go. It's expedient that I go. Because if I don't go, the helper won't come. We know the helper to be the Holy Ghost. He says, if I don't leave, then the helper won't come. But if I go, I'll send him. Read John chapter 14, 15, and 16. If I go, I'll send him. When he comes, he will teach you all things. He'll lead you into all truths. He'll show you things to come. He'll bring to your remembrance the things that I told you. All of this, the Holy Ghost packs with him. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost knows the word. He breathes upon the word and causes the word to come alive within us. He is the Spirit of wisdom. The ability to give us divine revelation concerning any matter that we face in life, as it all leads to the building of the body of Christ. He never distributes the gifts in order for us to make a name for ourselves. He only distributes them for the edifying of the body. In other words, to build somebody else up in the faith, to strengthen the body, to draw the attention and the glory to Jesus and not to the individual themselves. Paul said it like this. He says, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, I'm not quoting it right. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we're coming back. This just came to me, so I've got to find. Oh, praise God. Is it 12? Yes, that's it. Thank you, preacher man. Verse 12. Even so, ye, for as much as ye are zealous for spiritual gifts, isn't that something? What's the something? The hunger of the saints. The hunger of the saints for the spiritual gifts. The zeal, the passion, the excitement, the stirring for spiritual gifts to operate in their midst. Now, some say that, you know, the gifts are over with, and we can see why the church is as dead as it is. It would be foolish for me to have a Ford truck and something the truck has all of these, I don't know why I say Ford. It has all of these accessories, and one of them is air conditioning. And it is 95 degrees outside. And I'm sitting in that truck with power windows, air conditioning, and I got the windows up and the AC off, and I'm riding around. I'm just so happy to be in the Ford. Sweating bullets. Everybody's looking at me. I'm about to pass out. And I've got all of these luxuries. I'm just happy being in the Ford. Just driving the Ford. I'm in a Ford truck, built Ford tough. Hey, somebody's going to come up to me and say, you are sweating. Does that truck have air conditioning in it? Yeah, but we don't use air conditioning anymore because air conditioning is not, you know, we're not supposed to use it anymore. It's passed away. Well, you are sweating, especially if I get somebody else in the truck, like my wife. Turn the AC on. Or roll the windows down. I don't want to because electric windows is no longer for today. And that's a silly illustration, but that's just how silly it is to say that in this dispensation of the church, in this age of the church, that we don't need what we've always needed and what we had in the beginning. Amen. You know, it's just ridiculous. You'd think that I was crazy. Something is wrong with him. He's got air conditioning. It's hot outside. He won't turn the AC on, and he will not let the windows down. He can't drive with the doors open because that would be unsafe, but he won't let the windows down, and he won't turn the AC on. Turn the AC on. What is the whole? Turn the gifts on. Come on. It's stuffy in here. If there's no life in here, there's no vibrancy, there's no revelation, there's no demonstration, there's no healings, there's no miracles, there's no signs, there's no wonders. What is your identity as the church? We all come to the building, just like I get in the truck. So the Holy Spirit says, since you're zealous for these things, all of that came out of just being zealous and passionate for the gifts. Since we are zealous, verse 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek, in other words, don't stop. Don't stop being zealous, but seek and use them to excel to the edification of the church, because that's what it's really all about, building up this body. And it's not just about building up the same saints over and over again, because, you know, you get built up to work. Praise God. And if you're working and exercising, you stay strong. It's when you stop that all of a sudden things start to break down on you. Inactivity of the body. Watch. The older you get, the less you do. And the less you do, the quicker your body ages. And before you know it, you can't even use your components and parts anymore. Why? Because they have not been used. They become stiff. I'm making more sense than you're giving me credit for, but I'm not moved by your... Never mind. No, if we run after Jesus the way Jesus wants us to run after him, and if we would embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit the way we're supposed to as a church of the living God, life would never be a dull moment. There'd be too much action going on a daily basis. Sundays and Wednesdays would be about, you know, I went to work, and somebody told me that they were sick. I went over and laid hands, and they got healed. I went to the grocery store, and... there was a person in front of me in the grocery line, and they, you know, they were like, they just lost it. They just all of a sudden just had a breakdown, and I just immediately laid hands on them, and then they got composure, and then all of a sudden they started thinking straight, and then next thing you know, they paid their bill, they went on their way, and, you know, they were happy. You know, they were breaking down at the counter, but all of a sudden they got it all together because I just happened to be there. Not that it was me, but Christ who lives in me, and just ministered to them. But there would just be one story after the other story of what God is doing, because we actively engage with the Holy Ghost on a regular daily basis, and not just Wednesday and not just Sunday when it's time to go before the saints of God so we can say what we've done. Does that make sense? Presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service, ought to be something that's done every day, every morning when we wake up. It's not that we take our lives back from him, but just as a reminder, when we get up in the morning, Lord, I present my body to you as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, my reasonable service. I will not be conformed to this world this day, but I'll be transformed by the renewing of my mind so that today, Wednesday, June the 18th, 2014, I can prove what is your good and acceptable and perfect will. Just in case there's somebody out there that does not know you, I can show them by example and also through the effective working of the Spirit of God that this is the life to live and all else is vanity and grasping at the wind. Praise God. That's good. That's good. Daily. We work, yeah. You know, you may have your job that you go to, but you're there on assignment. You're not there as an employee. You are employed by them, but your service to them is even greater than the service that they require, because your service is not to them, but your service is to God. It's just a tent-making place. It's just a place that God is using to provide for your need and bless you to be able to even do things for others. But you just go there on assignment. Sent by God. Hallelujah. I'm here to be a blessing to this place. Praise God. All of a sudden, prophets go up. All of a sudden, the atmosphere, the climate changes. You come in, and it's all turmoil, and you get in there, and next thing you know, wow, it's so peaceful in this place. Praise God. We don't know what happened. What happened? And you just sit back and smile and say, Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, take over. Since, I'm almost done. We're getting out early tonight. Watch. And pray. Seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Ask yourself, does the church still need to be edified? Edification comes in two ways. Paul talks about the edifying of the church in the book of Ephesians, and that's where we are building each other up. We are reaching out to one another and continuing to strengthen and encourage each other in our walk, understanding that we all go through things in life, but there's no reason to give up on our walk and relationship with Jesus Christ, but to all the more serve God, encouraging our brothers and sisters in that way. Then there's another way of edification, and that's by bringing others into the body. That enlarges the body, numerically, if you will, because we have what's called the ministry of reconciliation and the ministry of edification. Reconciliation is after we've been reconciled to Christ Jesus, then we go out and reconcile others to him. Edification is building those up that are coming in, discipling them in the ways of God. And the thing of it is that it should be, and mind you, the word does make room for those that are weak in the faith and still struggling with certain things. But it's not that they are to remain that way, because to remain that way would indicate that something is wrong. Either something is wrong with the teaching or something is wrong with the receiving. And it can only be wrong with the teaching as if it's contrary to what God says in his word. Amen. And nothing is wrong on God's side. It's this side that needs to be dealt with. And so if it's in the receiving end, whether it's because the person is like one of the parable, like not one of the parables, but the parable of the soil, where a person can be shallow in their faith and the word can come, but the word doesn't sink in, or the person just doesn't understand. And if you have no understanding, Satan will come and snatch that word away before you can get some understanding. How do I get understanding? You get understanding through pondering, thinking, meditating, and speaking that word over and over again. Jesus said this, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Peter, but my Father which is in heaven." And upon this rock, we know the rock is Jesus, but we also know that the rock is revelation knowledge that comes from God. When God reveals his word to us, Father wants to personally teach each and every one of his sons and daughters. Hallelujah. I don't know of any parent who has a newborn child that doesn't want to feed that child if in their right mind, okay? A mother wants to feed the child. A father, a good father, wants to feed that child too. Amen? And our father, our daddy is a good, 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 good daddy. And he wants to feed his children too. Amen? And so the Father can feed us through divine revelation. We read his word. We don't have understanding. We hear his word. We don't have understanding. Take notes on that which you do not understand. Write it down. And then go and ponder. Write the scriptures down. Write what you don't understand down. And then go home and ponder over it. Speak it, mutter it, pray over it, and ask the Father for revelation. If you don't get understanding, then come back to the source and say, I don't understand this part. Help me, because in understanding, I prevent the enemy from stealing what I just have. Because what I have could be the very thing I need for my breakthrough. But if I don't fully understand it, I'll miss my breakthrough opportunity. Am I making any sense? 2 + 2 is... just checking. I want to make sure that I get understanding. So I speak it, I meditate on it, I ponder over it, I pray over it. Lord, give me understanding, give me revelation. Reveal to me what I cannot see. Because when you reveal it, it'll be clear. I'll understand it. I can apply it, walk in it, and it can bear fruit. I could be one of those that been through a lot of hard situations, and my life is kind of hard and callous, and when I hear the word, I can rejoice in it, but because I haven't established a root system in your word, I've been too shifty, too over here and over there kind of thing, and not really firmly planted, giving myself the opportunity to establish a good root system in you. So, you know, stuff can happen, or people can come to me and they can start talking about Christianity and make me feel like that, like a little ant, when I really on the inside, I want to stand up and say, you know, you need to repent, you need to get right. But I don't feel, you know, like I know enough or I'm mature enough to be able to say anything, or, you know, I've just been through a whole lot and it's, the words just haven't been taking over my heart like it should. What do I do? I get planted. Hallelujah. I get planted. I get planted under an anointed man or woman of God. And I listen so I can get understanding. I listen so that that word can take root within me. Paul said it like this, rooted and grounded and established. And that's how I want to be. I want to be established in God's word. I want to be solid in God's word. I don't want to be like, you know, somebody can come up to me and start talking about evolution and it just confuses me. I don't need to be confused by no evolution. I need to be able to come back and say, no, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made in the image and likeness of God. I didn't evolve from some primordial soup, if you will. And I believe the word of God that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and, you know, the earth was without form and void. And you know, people can't tell the difference. Not calling you God, and you're not trying to be God, but as imitators of Christ, if you will, as sons and daughters of the Most High God, bearing the image of the God who created us, who made us, who formed and fashioned us in our mother's womb and knew us before we were even formed. Before mama and daddy came together, God knew about us. That God I serve, him I want to bear his image and likeness in the earth. Anybody listening? Hallelujah. Glory. Jesus didn't walk the face of this earth powerless. He walked the face of this earth powerful. And we are his body. He's our big brother. He's the one who gives us authority and power. He's the one who's given us his name, to carry out the works in his name. Jesus said it like this, if you've seen me, Thomas, if you've seen me, Philip, you've seen the Father. And we ought to be able to say, not proud and boastful and arrogant, but if you've seen me, you've seen Jesus. When people start saying, oh, you're just awesome. If you've seen me, it's because you've seen Jesus. The awesomeness in me is Jesus. It's not me. The wisdom is Jesus. It's not me. The power is Jesus. It's not me. The anointing is Jesus. It's not me. It's him. We would be nothing but hot air going through this earth. He's the one that gives us something, a reason for living, gives us a name, gives us a position that we don't deserve, but it is highly favorable with God in heaven and man on earth. Woo! Preaching better than your response, but I'll keep on. Anyways, I said we're getting out of here early, and we are. We are. We are. We is. We is. Does not the church need edification today? We can all agree with that. It's like the body of Christ needs help. You just look, you can just look at Christian television, let alone going to different churches and stuff. You can listen to the types of sermons that keep coming across the pulpit, and you can see we're always going through something, and what we're going through is either we don't have enough money to pay our bills, or we're in some sort of bondage, or in some sort of sin, you know, something that does not reflect the power and the glory of Christ Jesus. We need edification. We need to be built up. We need to get back to the roots of who we are in Christ Jesus. We've gotten so far from him, and we've settled for the mediocrity. We've settled for the types of things that come across the platform. I'm not putting all of those stuff things down. It's just the state of the church, and it needs to change. Politicians no longer fear the church. Many care more about their position than they do their position in the earth than they do in their position in the kingdom. And by that I mean this. They fear man more than they fear God. And God is bringing us to a place to where, and God, he's letting it happen. He's letting it happen. The reason is like this. If the bully keep running you home and you run home to mama expecting mama to do something, mama going to tell you, no, you're going to do something. You're going to stand up against that bully. You're going to pop that bully in the eye and make him leave you alone. And God's going to let stuff keep happening to the church. Come on, God, send this revival, send this revival. No, you're going to get out there and be who you are and beat that bully up and send him home running and win this world to Jesus. That's what you're going to do because that's who you are. Like Mufasa said, you don't know who you are. Pow! Who's Mufasa? Come on. Lion King, okay, yeah. We got some Lion King fans in here. You got to know who you are as a church. Without the Holy Ghost, we're powerless. With the Holy Ghost, we're powerful. He is the power. He is the anointing, if you will. He's the gifts. He's the giver of the gifts, the bestower of the gifts. We preach love, 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 and rightly so because God is love, but we're preaching a sloppy love. It's a love that puts up with anything and everything, and that's not true love, because God's love is love and truth. Amen. And when you don't want the truth, you really don't want love. Amen. Praise God. Jesus is Lord. So it's a sloppy type of love. It's the kind of love that just tolerates anything and everything. And when I say tolerate, I'm not saying that. You know, God loves each and every one of us, and he proved it. Somebody tell me how God proved his love. Adabu? it was so fast, Deacon Patton, I couldn't make it all. It was Adabu. Oh, okay, okay. I'm like, Adabu? You talking tongues to me? No. God has proven his love for every person, past, present, and future. God has already proven, demonstrated his love when he sent Jesus to the cross. That was for every person. That is the greatest love that God could give to all of us. Jesus says, there is no greater love than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. And he laid down his life not only for his friends, but for his enemies. Ooh, that's the ultimate love, that the Father could watch that happen, make it happen, agree to it to happen. And it did happen. And so now God can deal with us as sons and daughters because he's demonstrated his love. Hallelujah. And I'm not saying it's rude and obnoxious, but it's truthful. And the truth makes us free. Hallelujah. Lying to people keep them in bondage and captivity. Truth makes them free. Hallelujah. And God commands us, speak the truth in love. That's what his servant Paul said. Speak the truth in love, that we may grow into him. Hallelujah. Who is the head, Christ. Praise God. We want to be like our big brother Jesus. Amen. In every area and facet, we want to be like Jesus. And that's the church's mission. We're not trying to have our own identity. When you hear me say stuff about, you know, Facebook and things like that, it's not to just condemn or make people feel bad. It's we got to know who we are. And we're not who we are just when we come into this building. We're who we are whether we're laying down or rising up or going through the house or coming outside of the house, getting in the car, driving down the street, going to the job, going to the marketplace, coming into the household of faith. We are who we are. We are the sons and daughters of the Most High God, and God wants that to be represented. Our lives are hidden in Christ in the heavenly places. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Our lives are hidden in Christ, in God, in the heavenly places. It's his life that's supposed to be lived. And so when you do put something out there on Facebook, you make sure it's something that Jesus would put out there on Facebook. Otherwise, we've taken our lives from the heavenly realm and brought it back to the earthly, and we've sent Jesus' light back on up there, and then we put us out there, and then we endure, whether it's comments, likes, or what have you. But I would rather have Jesus do a like. I just said something, but I better repeat it. I would rather have Jesus do a like and a comment than to get the comments of men and displease my Lord and Savior, who I have to stand before, because I still tried to live my life. And all it is that the flesh keep, that's why I said earlier, you keep coming here, you've been trying to get off the cross. Digging the keynote, go get the hammer. Bam, bam, bam. Keep us back on the cross so we can live that crucified life and glorify God in our bodies. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. You can stand to your feet. This is how wisdom can come through the way of the world. It involves an understanding of people, things, events, situations, and the willingness as well as the ability to apply perception, judgment, and action in keeping with the understanding of what is the optimal course of action. Employing everything that you've learned and accumulated and experienced and understand in order to come up with the optimal course of action. It often requires control of one's emotional reactions, the passions, so that the universal principle of reason prevails to determine one's actions. In other words, you don't let your emotions fly beyond the boundaries of the principles so that you don't discredit the principles, but you continue to apply and walk them out until you get that desired result, if you will. Amen? Does that make sense? In short, wisdom is a disposition to find the truth coupled with an optimum judgment as to what actions should be taken in order to deliver the correct outcome. Wisdom will always be crying out in every given situation. A whole lot of stuff can be going on. You can be hearing a lot of voices, a lot of opinions flying around, but wisdom, truth, is right there. Right there. And what we have to do is just get before God. Say, Lord God, calm the raging seas of my life and my mind. And Lord God, still the voices that I've been hearing from all the opinions of men and the ways of men. I want your counsel. I want your wisdom. I want your knowledge. I want your truth. And God will say something like this, like he said to the psalmist, be still and know that I am God. He will keep them at perfect peace whose mind is stayed on them because they trust in him. God says, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your time. And that wisdom and knowledge is the wisdom and knowledge that comes from him. It's the stabilizing force that keeps us standing tall when everybody else is being blown over. It's like the psalmist said, 1,000 can fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh you because you dwell in the secret place of the Most High. You abide under the shadow of Almighty. You receive of his wisdom, his knowledge, and his understanding. He covers you with his wings. A basic definition of wisdom is the judicious application of knowledge. The opposite of wisdom is folly or foolishness. We want to always walk in wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And God gives wisdom to every man that asks him. James says, if any man lacks it, let him ask of God who gives liberally and freely. But don't ask doubting. If you doubt, don't think you're going to get anything from God. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Father, we thank you. Release the spirit of wisdom upon your sons and daughters as we make decisions concerning our personal lives, concerning the lives of our family, our loved ones, concerning the lives of this ministry, Lord God, this work that you're doing, concerning our guests who are here with us, Father. We pray for discernment, Lord. We pray that you would open up, Father God, the hidden things, the secret things. As we continue to bask in your presence, sit under your word, hear your word, receive your word, apply your word, Lord God, ponder and meditate in it day and night. Treat it like silver, treat it like gold, searching deep, Lord God, to pull it out, Father, in the name of Jesus. It's your word is hidden treasure, Lord God, and may we reap all the benefits of our search and for understanding and clarity and wisdom and knowledge, and that you, Father God, just cause us to soar with you. That we don't mistreat one another, but we entreat and we bless one another. And Lord God, we grow with the increase that comes from you. Father, that we are about your business. You are our refuge, our fortress, a strong tower. You're our provider. We honor you. I bless each and every one that has come out tonight, Father, and I pray that you'll bless them in Jesus' mighty name. That the blessing of the Lord be upon each and every one. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household that he might bless you. That you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Above all else, you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. That the gates of hell will not triumph against you, but you shall triumph over the gates of hell because you are the church of the living God. You are the pillar and ground of truth, the foundation, mainstay, proper support of truth. That no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rise up against you in judgment, you shall condemn and prove to be a lie. This is your heritage, and your righteousness comes from God. You are in right standing with the Father. That you enjoy this walk in relationship with Jesus. all the days of your life here on this earth in the mighty name of Jesus. We bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody who agrees, said amen. 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 And amen.